Good morning, Bruce.
And good morning, Cora. It sounds like a few warm days coming up. Looks like we've finally hit the summer straps or something like that. And, well, the best news of this week is we are no longer down in lockdown 3.0. Wow, isn't that a good feeling? It's been tough. And if you're one of those people like myself who's been locked down now for, well, more months than we haven't been over the last 12 months, it's a good feeling to be able to go out and travel more than 5 kilometres from home and all of that stuff. I saw a great joke online a couple of months ago, and it showed a rubbish bin. And on the rubbish bin, in big letters, it had, "Welcome to 2020, the year my bin went out more than I did." There you go. Well, if you listened last week, you know that we are today looking at part two of a series of four, looking at all things financial, money, 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 finances. Last week, if you missed the program, we looked at scams and frauds and things that can go wrong and how people can manipulate our accounts and all sorts of things. And if you want a copy of that, if you missed the program, well, it will be podcast right here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. And while I say that, I should just also flag with you that there's an opportunity at the moment to complete a public survey. You have to do it in the next 2 weeks, giving feedback on Yarra Valley FM as a listener. We want your feedback because we're doing some strategic planning at the moment, and here's your opportunity to say what you like and what you don't like about the programming right here. Anyway, welcome this morning. You have joined me, Bruce Argyle, for our regular Thursday morning community conversations program. We've been going for, well, we were just saying off air, nearly 6 years, Cora and I, on this, and it's been a great 6 years. It's really flowing, and we try to bring you things that are of interest, and that's why this financial series was put together, and it's aimed to be educational. It's aimed to, well, share some stories and perhaps, well, learn some things, learn some ways of managing our finances a little bit more safely and wisely than we have in the past. If you're a first-time listener this morning, Shelley, all of you out there, welcome to the program. My very special guests, right here in the studio, we're not even Zooming today, are Vicky Senior and Amber Coote. Vicky is the branch manager at Wirriyallik Community Bank, and I've just found out that I've just met Amber, but Amber is the customer service officer there. Good morning, both of you. Wonderful to have you with us.
Morning, Bruce.
Morning.
Yes, absolutely wonderful. It's a little bit warm in the studio this morning here, isn't it?
It sure is.
I think 34, I think Cora was saying before. So things are going to warm up or something like that. I was doing a little bit of research for today's program and Googling, well, we're not allowed to say that on air, are we? We're not allowed to say products, and there's also a bit of carry-on at the moment around news. So I was looking into some phrases that have some things to do with money, and one of the old ones is a penny for your thoughts, you know, and we all know that means, you know, so what are you thinking? And then there's that other one, you know, that you should put in your 2 cents worth, you know, to give your opinion or share your opinion. So a mate of mine was just saying, hang on, if it's a penny for your thoughts, which is like 1 cent, and you're putting in your 2 cents worth, someone's making a profit here because there's 1 cent left over. Oh, sorry, we won't go there. Anyway, to coin a phrase, well, there's another one. And to coin a phrase actually came from the 14th century when people were making dies to mint coins. And we often use that as an introduction, don't we, to coin a phrase. Vicky, that's enough from me, isn't it? That's what are we going to talk about today, Vicky?
Well, I think the message there, Bruce, is that someone's always making a profit.
Keeps the world going or something like that, Vicky.
It sure does. It sure
what do we get? So we're on our second week this week, and we're going to focus on, well, something that's equally as important as scams, isn't it?
We are, Bruce. Today we're going to talk about elder abuse and financial bullying. And, you know, this is a really important topic because it's so prominent today, and it's not just elderly people that are financially abused, it's everybody. But unfortunately, because it's so common that we see elder abuse, it's got its own topic.
And we're going to share some stories with you. Wait there, don't go away. Listen to our, we've just got to play this song, don't we? Because it sums up everything we're about this morning. There we go.
got it on that. Hey, it ain't none of your business if it's little or large. I'm headed out tonight. I got my walking around money.
That was Fiona Boy's Walking Round Money. You with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations, and we're talking financial abuse this morning. Sadly, all too common. My very special guests in the studio are Vicky Senior and Amber Coote. And Vicky, I'm wondering, just to whet our appetite, could you give us an example of where, you know, financial abuse has sadly happened? Could you do that for us? To bring it home, I suppose, to us on how real it is.
Absolutely. I think what I'll do first, Bruce, if it's all right, is tell you a story about where financial abuse didn't happen.
Sure.
But how, you know, these things can come about. So an example is through COVID. Obviously, we all know that a lot of us were locked in our homes and unable to do the usual things that we wanted to do. And I had some elderly neighbours who just felt uncomfortable even going to the supermarket. So they asked me and my husband if we would do their shopping for them, which we had absolutely no problem at all in doing. They wanted to give me their bank card so that I could go to the shops and do what we needed to do for them. They would give me their shopping list and ask me to do that. But I felt uncomfortable from that perspective of having access to PIN numbers, you know, everything we talked about last week from fraud and scams. So my suggestion to them was, well, how about you let me purchase your shopping and I'll bring you the receipts and you can reimburse the money to me, you know, transfer. But again, they were uncomfortable with me being out of pocket. So you can see how this trust can be from both sides, and it can start off innocently. And before you know it, you've got access to somebody's card and PIN number and life savings. So as it happened, we ended up doing the right thing. They didn't give me any card details or anything like that. They did transfers online to me. They were quite savvy with technology. But it was definitely a conversation that we had, because I can see how a lot of customers these days in all banks are uncomfortable with online banking and transfers, and it's not easy to get to a bank during a lockdown either. So, you can see how these things can happen.
Very easily, and all too often it's with Well, with someone we know, unfortunately, Vicky, you know, a carer, a friend, a member of the family. And we'll hear some more stories about that in a little bit. We should perhaps just have said at the beginning of this program, we're not here to give you financial advice today. We're not legally allowed to do that. And nor do we on Community Radio promote any particular products or anything like that of any particular bank. So we're talking today, we're raising awareness on things financial. How can we avoid some of the pitfalls, as we did last week with scams? How can we avoid some of the pitfalls, identify and be more aware of financial abuse, elder abuse, when we see it happening, and what can we do about it? I'm going to ask Amber. Amber, are you aware? Obviously, we're going to change names, or we're not going to use names at all, but in your role as a customer service officer, I'm sadly guessing that you probably do see examples of this in everyday banking.
Yes, we certainly do, and it is quite upsetting to see. But it's actually quite common, which is
yes.
really sad.
Yeah, and it's not just a particular age group, Amber.
No, so with financial abuse, it's not particularly just with the elderly. It can be in a few different examples and a few different areas. You've got, you know, certain people that are from overseas that are working in the picking industry, and sometimes they can be taken advantage of with a low income and low wages.
Mm-hmm.
In their country, it could be that they're receiving a wage from this particular employer that they see as a high pay. But in fact, it's a well below the minimum wage. So it's about recognising a pattern and being able to support our customers who are being financially bullied this way.
I'm guessing that makes you feel pretty frustrated or pretty upset at times. I mean, you can see it kind of before your eyes, and it must be hard for you to, you know, to know
yes,
what to do, because
yes,
you are constrained
yes.
in how much you can do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So scary stuff. Let's go back a little bit and just give the context what we're talking about. And we do have an amazing resource, a website that I'm going to share with you, a government website that has some amazing resources on this in a little bit. But Vicky, let's just make sure we've got our heads around when we use the term financial abuse or elder abuse, what are we really talking about here?
Well, I think, Bruce, you're talking about something that is happening that you might not always be aware is happening, but you're being manipulated or defrauded in giving out money to somebody. And I think that the main message that we have to get across today is that, you know, elder abuse especially often comes from a family member or a carer. And this isn't all the time, Bruce, but,
sure.
you know, it's what we see a lot of. And it comes from a place of entitlement or addiction. It's not always a really obvious, you know, your son or your daughter's a bad egg and they've always treated you badly. Sometimes you can have perfectly good people that get stuck in a bad place in their own lives. And I've seen examples of gambling addictions where they take over, and unfortunately good people do bad things, and sometimes they just find themselves in a hole and they have to get out of it. And that's where often we see elder abuse starts.
Yeah, Vicky, to interrupt you, I've seen that with a friend and her mum who did have a gambling addiction and gambled away the house.
Yep.
You know, a dollar at a time, or probably more than like $100 at a time. And it split the whole family, Vicky, you know. The daughter was a good friend of mine, and they were put in a really difficult position without really knowing that it was even happening. You know?
Absolutely. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that sometimes as bank staff, we see it and there's nothing we can do about it. It's a process that we have to sometimes watch happen over a course of time before we can do anything about it. And I think that this is a good opportunity to tell people out there that whoever you bank with, if you have a concern over somebody that you know who's being financially abused, you can go into a bank and tell the bank that that's what you think is happening. They won't report back to you. They won't tell you what they do next, but they will take it seriously. There's a financial assist support team with every bank, and they take these claims very, very seriously. So if you do have concerns over somebody, please, please don't keep it to yourself.
Thanks so much, Vicky. And I'm going to give you a resource just as before we go to our next song. It's moneysmart.gov.au. This is a federal government legitimate website, and it's a wonderful resource. It's moneysmart.gov.au, and there's all sorts of tools and tips and go-to places for assistance for if you're struggling with debt or abuse, or you're in a difficult position of any kind, and some of the signs and things to look for, and just some really practical tips. So I can't encourage you strongly enough to have a good look at that website. It is a federal government website, moneysmart.gov.au. We'll be right back with some more stories and some more, well, awareness-raising tips around financial abuse. And here's my favourite. Joined us for part two of a four-part series focusing on all things financial. Last week we talked about scams and frauds, and today we're talking about financial abuse, elder abuse, well, taking advantage of people in different situations. So my very special guests are Vicky Senior. Vicky, you've done banking, and sorry, Amber Coote. I was going to finish my sentence first. Vicky, you've done banking, well, in other parts of the world too, back in the UK. Did they have elder abuse over there?
They sure did, Bruce, unfortunately, and I got thrown out of England and sent to Australia. So.
like a lot of the rest of us, I think, hey?
I worked for two banks over in the UK a lifetime ago now, but we saw an example that still stands in my mind now from elder abuse that I want to tell you today.
Yeah, please.
So we had a customer who we could see over time that her health was failing and her memory wasn't as sharp as it was. She was a customer who came in daily. So, you know, you start to get a real fondness with customers that you see every day. They become part of your family.
Yep.
Multiple family members started coming into the branch and doing withdrawals with her. So they'd be stood next to her or behind her or sat in the bank. And it was different family members every time. And the bank was alerted to this and decided to report it and enforce that the policy and procedure, which resulted in the ability to be able to speak with the customer about what was happening while she was on her own. And it turns out that the customer was being taken advantage of. She then went on to get a power of attorney to manage all the funds to ensure that it wouldn't happen again. But it was only because of the quick thinking of the branch staff that we managed to alert our fraud team to that. Because if you have a conversation with a customer and they've got family members stood next to them and you say, are you being taken advantage of? They're never going to say, yes, I am, actually.
No.
So no. It is. It's about sometimes just having the opportunity to talk to a customer on their own. And as a customer, never be offended if somebody from your bank does that. You know, it's okay to say, no, you're fine. There's no problem here at all. But at least they're asking the question.
Yeah, terrific. That's great customer care, Vicky. And let's go to you, Amber. Do you, or obviously without mentioning any names and so on, I mean, can you give us a couple of sort of practical examples of where you see it actually happening on the ground? You know, like what sort of, when we talk about it, what sort of things does it, what does it look like? You know?
So there's a few things that can alert us in this situations. We quite often sometimes get some like blanked signed withdrawal slips.
Okay.
With customers coming in that are not the account holders but are there to do the withdrawal and have the signatory on
there.
So
it's like fill in your own amount kind of thing.
Fill in your own amount as you come into the
bank. Right, okay, ouch.
And also another one that will alert us to is if there are deposits being made and the amounts have been changed on the deposit slip. So if there was, for instance, a $2,000 deposit and then it had been changed to $500.
Right. Meaning that perhaps the person who was carrying the cash on behalf of someone else to deposit it had pocketed some of it on the way, sadly.
Yeah, certainly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we talked as well, Bruce, before about how addiction can be the reason that some people start abusing elders and others. But it can also be from a place of entitlement. If they've been looking after a family member or been a carer for a family member for a long period of time, they start to almost feel at times, I think, that they're being paid for their duties. Mm. And it can also come from carers who have conversations with elderly and say that they're struggling themselves financially, that their home loan payment's late and they feel like they need some help. And as humans...
A bit of a sob story.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as humans, we all want to help, don't we? And, you know, quite often it starts from a manipulation point of view, not always direct theft.
Hmm. So a bit subtle perhaps in the beginning and perhaps just in a small way or just, that won't make any difference or something, and then grows from there sometimes.
Definitely. And you know, again, the same message as last week, Bruce. We're not suggesting that every single person that ever asks you to loan them $5 for a coffee is, you know, financially abusing you. It's for you to work that out and know. But all we're saying is look for the signs. Be aware of what can happen and that it can happen to people that you trust, that's where these things usually start.
Hmm. Reminds me of an old quote, which was, never lend money to a friend. It's dangerous. It could damage their memory. And on that note, let's go to What's the Colour of Money?
Denied passion, faith, and soul to the anthem, green and gold. Color
And you've joined us for part two of a four-part series on all things financial. We're talking money, we're talking, well, being careful with money and making sure that you are safe in handling your money online, that there's no financial abuse, or some tips to help people that you might be your friends or family that might need some assistance. And in the studio this morning, I have Vicky and Amber, and we're talking right now on some examples, talking about some examples where it's happening in real life. And Amber, I'm just wondering, what does this happen with lending money as well? We've talked about, you know, deposits and money coming in. What about loans and things like that? Is there, can that also be a source of financial abuse?
Yes, it certainly can. So shortly after starting with the bank, I had a scenario where a customer had come in to do her regular banking, and we'd noticed that the account balance was dwindling and we weren't 100% sure. So after looking into it, it was discovered that her daughter had actually taken out a loan in her mother's name. And had the loan repayments being direct debited out of the account. And the mother was not aware of this particular loan, and after some investigation, it was found that her daughter had actually been able to use all of her mother's credentials and
ouch.
Provide the banker details to
ouch.
Be able to do
ouch,
that.
Ouch, ouch, ouch. Well, I'm just being nosy, but what were you able to do about it? Were you able to do anything about it?
So it was reported through to our financial team, so our FAST team, and they took it out straight away. And as Vicky mentioned earlier, once we report through to that team, everything's handled with policy and procedure yeah. through there. So the customer was able to recover funds, and at the end of the day, once it was made aware, we put some things in place to be able yeah. to protect her going forward.
Well done, Amber. I'm thinking, Vicky, that you you made mention earlier about COVID, and I did on the opening as well. And I'm just wondering whether, you know, the move to online banking and the force, you know, the forced move that we've had to change the way, you know, we do our banking because of COVID, has that increased the risk of financial abuse? I mean, is it happening more or less? And what is there anything different? And are people, dare I say, using scams and other methods to manipulate people's money here online as well, Vicky?
That's a really good question, Bruce, and it's one that's difficult to answer because of you know, all banks would have to be taken into consideration with a statistic like that.
Mm.
I would say that what we found is that fraud was lessened because of being able to have conversations with customers in branch before COVID hit about how to set up internet banking safely. Having somebody, we talked last week with Ashley R. Crow. Mm-hmm. She sits down often with customers and goes through the internet banking process and what transferring money is and how it looks and the security measures in place to do that. We set up a lot of customers with ATM cards for the first time ever.
Yep.
And what we found was being able to actually explain how the ATM works, stand outside with them, show them how to cover their PIN number safely, how to withdraw cash safely, where to wait, where to stand. It made things for our customers who'd never done this before. I think it gave a bit of peace for them for being aware of that technology isn't very scary. You know,
yeah.
if you've got the support of the bank, it can be great.
Yes, and Ashley, if you're listening, your tips last week were fantastic. Well done. So, Vicky, can we perhaps look at another example, another story where we see financial abuse happening? Is there another just to again raise our awareness of the everyday sorts of examples where we do see it happening?
Yeah, I mean, going back from what I was just saying, Bruce, about internet banking. So we've seen elderly customers who get help setting up their internet banking through at home with their family members. And what that's meant is that they've shared their password and given somebody else access to their account. So a tip there is, if you do want to set up internet banking and you're not confident doing that by yourself at home, come into the branch. Any bank will sit down with you and go through that process and set up your internet banking with you.
Fantastic. So there's a terrific offer. And just to think a little more, to be a little more careful, a little more circumspect about how we do things. I heard a great phrase last year. Are you afraid of change? You know, in terms of doing things differently, afraid of change. This was in a cafe. Just leave it here. It was next to the tips jar. There you go. Very clever. Very clever. Amber, let's go back to you. How often do we see this? Is it something that's just sort of a once a year thing, or do you sort of have you got your antenna up all the time as a customer service officer? You know, just you know, thinking, is this customer okay? Are they safe? Are they the transaction that I'm helping them with here, is it legitimate? Is the person being forced to do this or something like that? Because part of financial abuse is also that often there's someone who is threatening or has power over the person or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, look, we certainly do every day, every customer provide, you know, that service. I myself pride myself on the customer service. I like to make sure that our customers are well looked after, and I think it's really important that we don't just assume that everything's okay. It's really important to make sure that we are ensuring that these customers are safe, that their banking needs are safe and done, and just being aware of who is with them and what is happening. And it's more frequent than people realise. It's not like a one a year thing. We could see two or three examples a week sometimes.
There you go.
So
if today is raising some concerns for you, or if you yourself are in a difficult position in relation to some of these things, I would strongly encourage you to go on to the federal government website that gives lots and lots of tips, lots and lots of go-to places where you can get support, where you can get help, where you can talk to someone. It's moneysmart.gov.au, and you will see all sorts of resources there, and you'll be able to do your own little diagnosis on, yeah, actually, this isn't right. So please go on there. Or if you want to talk to someone face-to-face, give Vicky or Amber a call on 5961-5644. We're going to have another song, and then we're going to come back and... Well, there's a couple of other dimensions here that are a bit scary as well. We'll talk about those. And, well, money changes everything, doesn't it, Cyndi Lauper?
I'm Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
And you've joined us this morning for part two of a four-part series with Vicky Senior and Amber Coote, and we're talking about financial abuse, we're talking about elder abuse, we're talking about ways of ensuring that people's money is safe and the management thereof. And I'm just wondering whether at this point in the program, Vicky and Amber, we should perhaps be throwing out a few tips, just some real practical things that perhaps will ensure that we can avoid some of this. You know, it's a lot easier to avoid it, isn't it, than mop it up
afterwards. It sure is. That's a really good way of putting it, Bruce. We would rather get on top of it first than have to clean it up later. So I'm going to give you some tips. One of them will be very unpopular amongst our listeners, I'm sure.
Oh, here we go.
So I'm going to start.
Do I have to press the button here, Vicky?
You probably have to pull my mic on this one. I would suggest that we avoid using checkbooks. And the reason I say that is that we do see post-dated checks still. We see blank checks that are signed. We see checkbooks that have been stolen. And we see checkbooks that have been sent out. And because customers don't use them very often anymore, they don't realise that it's been weeks since they should have received it. So I know that checkbooks are still popular amongst some of the communities. But if you do use it, just make sure that you balance it regularly. Keep track on when the new book's being sent, and never, never, never post date or sign a blank check.
And Ashley was saying last week that, you know, if you're having trouble moving away from checks and you need someone to help you set up your online banking or something or other, just pop into the branch, pop into any branch, and someone will help you set it all up, and those checks can be gone forever. They're going to be gone sometime soon anyway, Vicky.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. And that was a nice segue onto the next tip, which is transferring money to people when they've paid for something for you. So rather than sharing PIN numbers and bank cards and allowing somebody to do the pay pass and tap and go, get receipts. Ask for receipts and transfer money. It's instant these days. Used to be 3 days that somebody had to wait to get their money back, and now with OSCO payments and
Same day, isn't it?
Instantaneous sometimes. Yes. Call your bank or go and talk to somebody in your bank about having other people being able to transact on your accounts. So there are various things that you can do to limit what others can do for you. It's okay to have somebody as a signatory on your account, but it may be that you just want them to have certain accesses. So come and talk to your bank about that.
Right, so they can perhaps withdraw up to a certain amount, or they can, you know, some authority, but not total authority, Vicky.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Set a security password with your bank for when you call up, so that the old days of can we check your address and your date of birth and your full name, please? It's the first questions that anybody's going to learn about you. So having a password set up with your bank is a really good way of avoiding fraud.
And Vicky, can I interrupt there and just say that sometimes you can have a question prompt that will help you remember that password. If you're someone like me that has several passwords for all sorts of things, and you have trouble remembering them, you can sort of ask a question like, you know, what street did you live on when you were 10 years of age or something or other.
Exactly, Bruce. Some banks have that facility as well. A lot of companies do these days. And go into your bank and discuss the ATM and how it works. ATMs aren't the big scary machines that everybody thinks they are. So it's always a good one to have an understanding of what happens if I forget to take my money. What happens if I take too long to take my money? What those beeps mean.
Yes, all of that. Wow, some very practical things there, Vicky, that we can all do, can't we? Well, some of us, I've still got a checkbook, I must say, Vicky. I haven't used it for 12 months, but it's still sitting there, and it's probably time that I cut it up and went totally online, I think.
I had a young fella who I wrote one of the big giant checks out to.
Oh, yeah.
He'd been given a scholarship, and I wrote his name on the big giant check, and we had a photograph taken, and then I told him to go and pay it in at the teller area, and he walked over with the big giant check, and it took him a few minutes to work out that I was only joking and that he didn't have to pass it through the screen.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is a great story to finish on, Vicky, and we are almost out of time. If you've missed part of the program this morning, it will be podcast broadcast here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. This is part two. When we come back after this next song, we're going to tell you what is in store for next week for a part three. And Vicky, just a couple of closing thoughts, if you would, just as we wrap up this morning on our financial abuse section.
Absolutely, Bruce. The message for everybody is that we're not here to interfere, and it's okay for you to want to transfer money to your kids or to your grandkids or friends, help people out with a deposit. We're just saying that it's something that we look out for, and if we're concerned, don't be offended if we bring it up, and if you're concerned, please come and talk to us about it.
There you go. That's a wonderful offer, and I will give Vicky's contact details, so you can just give her a call on 5961 5644, or you can go to the moneysmart.gov.au website for all of the contact details, the resources, the tips, the things to look for. Just an amazing website there. We are out of time, but I know if you are, if you've been finding this morning really valuable, as per last week, that you'll want to tune in next week for part three. And next week we're going to be focusing on financial hardship. So I think we've all had our finances sort of thrown up in the air with COVID and everything that's been happening in the last 12 months, whether we've been in business or whether we're just an individual, we've been perhaps out of work or casual or whatever, things have been tough. And a lot of banks, of course, have stepped up to the mark too and done some amazing things in terms of supporting customers. But next week, we're going to be talking financial hardship, and we will have the amazing Ingrid with us next week. In addition to Vicky, I think we're going to twist your arm to come back, aren't we?
Oh, why not?
Why not? But for now, a big thank you to you, Amber, for joining us this morning, and to all of you listeners for being a part of the program this morning. Look forward to your company again at 9 o'clock next Thursday.